The first word of the president's death came from two priests as they left the hospital emergency ward where the president had been taken for emergency surgery. When they said, "The president is dead," sobs came from the crowds, newsmen and other people, hospital attendants who were standing outside of the emergency room. Then immediately confirmation came up from Washington that the president was dead. He died at 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, just 35 minutes after he'd been shot in the back by an assassin as his motorcade went through Dallas. Senator Ralph Yarborough of Texas was talking with the news people just before the announcement was made of the president's death. Senator Yarborough collapsed in sobs as he told of seeing what had happened as the president was fired upon. Yarborough was in the third car behind the president's limousine and said, "Seemed to me that at least two of the shots came from our right rear. I don't know where the third one came from." The police, of course, have spread out a giant dragnet around the city searching for the assassin or assassins. There was a report that a man and a woman had been seen scrambling off a walkway near an underpass where the motorcade was going. One man being sought is described as a white man, about 30, slender build, weighing about 130, 165 pounds. Apparently, the president was shot with a 30-30 rifle, undoubtedly with a telescopic sight on it. Let me repeat, President Kennedy is dead, killed by an assassin in Dallas. John Fitzgerald Kennedy, 45 years old, in his first term in office. Shot in a motorcade going through downtown Dallas. Texas Governor John Connally, also wounded by an assassin. Our best information at the moment is that the Texas governor is still in surgery. We do not know anything further about his condition. Acting White House News Secretary Malcolm Kilduff in Dallas says that President Kennedy died of a gunshot wound he received in the brain. Bob Clark said that he had seen blood on the president's head as the shots rang out and Mr. Kennedy slumped into the arms of his wife in the back of the car. The Kennedys had reached Dallas just a little while before that. This morning they were in Fort Worth, Texas. It's a two-day swing that they had planned through five cities in Dallas, in Texas, scheduled to deliver a speech. This afternoon in Dallas, that's where the president was heading at the time that the assassin found his mark. He was due to deliver a speech in Austin, Texas, tonight. At the Parkland Memorial Hospital in Dallas, Texas, all the best of medical attention was given to the president. Immediately, their top medical people called in on emergency service. Priests brought in to administer the last rites of the Roman Catholic Church. And it was from the priests who came from the emergency room at Parkland Hospital that we received the first word that the president was dead. Out in the area where the assassination occurred, the police have picked up a foreign made rifle. It's reported also that sheriff's officers are questioning a young man picked up on the scene. Vice President Johnson walked into the Parkland Hospital. It seemed that he had been injured possibly by a rifle bullet. We have word now that Lyndon Johnson, the new president of the United States, has left the hospital where President Kennedy died. Johnson accompanied by his wife. They would not answer any questions in the seriousness of the situation. What is the world thinking about it? This horrible catastrophe that's happened in the United States today. Let's find out from London. Bill Sheehan in London.
Prime Minister Sir Alec Douglas Hume hadn't heard the news up until about 20 minutes ago. He left number 10 Downing Street less than 2 hours ago. He had planned to spend the weekend at the Duke of Norfolk's estate, which is about 60 miles outside London. That's a two-hour drive at least in the Friday night traffic. Therefore, unless the Prime Minister had the radio on, he did not hear the news because spokesmen at No. 10 Downing Street hadn't been able to contact him. The British generally first heard the news of the shooting about 50 minutes ago on a BBC News bulletin, but the man on the street, hustling home after work or staying downtown for some late early Christmas shopping, hasn't heard even yet. The BBC announcement that the president definitely was dead came exactly 20 minutes ago, an announcement following a direct report from a BBC correspondent in Washington. After the announcement that the president had died, there was a long period of silence, perhaps 2 minutes, after which a BBC announcer came in and said, "You'll pardon the period of silence, but we're trying to compose ourselves and decide what to do next." There followed some music on a guitar, and further developments have been broadcast minute by minute as they became available.
Bill Sheehan, this is Don Gardner in New York. What time is it now over in London?
Right, it's 8 minutes of eight in London, which means that the announcement of the president's death came at 7:30 London time.
How is President Kennedy regarded on the streets of London by the people?
Well, there's no question about it. He was the most popular president. I wouldn't say more popular than General Eisenhower, but popular for completely different reasons. Popular for the same reason that Franklin Roosevelt was popular. And a stunned, glazed look is what you get from people who are hearing the news for the first time, the few that I have seen in the last 40 minutes or so.
How about over at the Foreign Office? How was the late president regarded?
The president was highly regarded by Foreign Secretary Rab Butler. He, surprisingly enough, had a great rapport with the former Prime Minister, Harold Macmillan. Mr. Macmillan, although he's almost 70 years old and has been in government for a long time, might have been expected to have a lot of differences with a young man who assumed so much power and such an important place in the free world. But I heard Harold Macmillan say a couple of months ago to a group of American reporters, "You're very lucky to have a man like Jack. He's quite a remarkable young man indeed." And you could see the admiration was sincere and not just something he was telling American reporters.
That report from Bill Sheehan over in London. Here's more concerning the assassination today. Mrs. Kennedy, may I please emphasize this, Mrs. Kennedy was not shot. Mr. Kennedy lived for about an hour, and then came that official announcement that the president was dead. John F. Kennedy, the fourth United States president to be slain while in office. He was shot at about 1:25 Eastern Standard Time, rushed immediately to the hospital into surgery, lived about 35 minutes, pronounced dead at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 54 minutes ago. Mrs. Kennedy was not harmed, but White House associates refused to make any comment concerning her condition. We received this word on the Moscow radio. The commentator, speaking in mournful tones, told of the assassination of President Kennedy, then told the Russians, and I quote the Moscow radio, "It is said he has been murdered by the extreme right-wing elements." That is a statement only from Moscow radio. He was assassinated on the streets of Dallas, Texas today, apparently from a high-powered rifle. Sheriff's officers have in custody a young man, police going out in a hunt for someone else who possibly was in association with that assassin when the bullets were fired at the president's bubble-top limousine at 1:25 Eastern Time this afternoon, ending the president's life with a bullet that lodged in his brain at 2 o'clock 55 minutes ago. Vice President Lyndon Johnson has left the hospital in company with Mrs. Johnson. He is now making plans to be sworn into office. He will be the 36th president of the United States. For comments on the situation, ABC's Quincy Howe. Quincy.
As a fellow citizen of Boston and a fellow graduate of Harvard College, naturally, I feel a special grief at the loss of the president under these conditions. It's hard to put into words and to order in logical form the emotions that stir me at any rate, and I'm sure millions of other Americans now. This assassination perhaps recalls more than any other the assassination of President McKinley. I think that was the last time that a president in office was shot and killed in the United States. It also is a reflection, too, at the present time, of the violence of the world we live in, a violence that is not confined to the United States, but that runs strong here, too. Political passions are such that men will go out and murder a fine, young, able president, a leader like President Kennedy, with the idea that somehow they are doing good, that they are somehow ministering to a cause they believe in. I think that is perhaps the grimmest feature of this whole thing. I do not know, no one knows, who these men were or who the man was that pulled the trigger that killed the president. Perhaps he was mentally deranged, like the Choglos, the anarchist who shot and killed McKinley. Perhaps he was also deranged in another way, like Zangara, who almost succeeded in murdering President-elect Franklin Roosevelt. But I would think that in this case, it was the act of relatively sane people. And that is perhaps the most horrible feature of this tragic day. Quincy Howe, ABC New York.
Thank you, Quincy. Standing by in Washington, two prominent members of Congress. For their observations, we switch now to John Rolfson, ABC, Washington.
The leader of the Republicans in the Senate, Everett McKinley Dirksen, has just commented on the death of President Kennedy, saying that some things are simply so incredible that they leave one speechless. Senator Dirksen said he'd known Mr. President Kennedy for over 14 years. He had seen him only last Tuesday, and then he was so affable and agreeable and full of life. And Senator Everett Dirksen, the Republican leader of the Senate, had this to say.
And suddenly comes this mortal blow that strikes him cold in death. I say it's an incredible thing. And my heart goes out to the family. And I'm a little bewildered by this turn of events, as I know the nation and the whole wide world will be. So first, my sincere sympathy to the entire Kennedy family. And in the language of the chaplain, as we had a prayer, in the hope that transfusion might infuse recovery, that the nation still stands and the nation will live.
That was Senate Republican leader Everett McKinley Dirksen on the death of the president. With Senator Dirksen at this moment is the Democratic leader of the Senate, the majority leader, Senator Mike Mansfield of Montana, and here is his statement on the president's death.
The passing of John Fitzgerald Kennedy is not only a tragedy for the nation which he so ably represented, but is, I think, also a mark upon the respectability and the responsibility of some of our citizens. This good, this decent, this kindly man, this harassed man who had so much on his shoulders and received from some people so little in the way of support in return, This man has now gone to his reward. And I will miss him as a personal friend. The nation will miss him as a great president. And the world will miss him as a great leader. One of the fondest memories I can recall is the cooperation and the support which the distinguished senator from Illinois, Mr. Dirksen, the minority leader of the Senate, gave to the President of the United States, a Democrat, time and time again when the interests of the nation were at stake. And I know how grateful he was to you for the many contributions you made, and I'm just as grateful, and the nation is too. Words are useless to express one's true feelings at a moment like this.
Mike, a person's perplexity is just too great in a tragic moment like this.
That statement by the Senate Democratic leader Mike Mansfield and the comment at the end by Senate Republican leader Everett Dirksen.